Tape Deck Media.
See the party, Richter!
Welcome to See You at the Party, Richter. My name is Aaron Freskis, and with me, as always, are my lovely co-host, Joseph Beck Castro.
Hello, cutie pies.
And also with us is Chris Chapman.
Hi.
I don't know why I made you sound like a guest. And joining us for the first time is Chris Chapman. But
And on thin ice is Chris Chapman.
And this episode, before we get into the production info, this episode we are actually going to start off with a pre-watch intro for Arnold's 1987 movie Predator.
We note that it is a sci-fi action vehicle.
Yes. Right? Which a sci-fi action vehicle would just be like Mad Max's vehicle? No, that's not sci-fi, huh?
Or just like a hover car?
Yeah, okay. So it's the hover car of Arnold Schwarzenegger movies.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I haven't seen this movie all the way through, I don't think. I always come in, I don't think I've ever seen it before the Predator, and seen anything before the Predator shows up. Like, I've never seen the whole scene of when they're doing their high five thing. they're showing their muscles.
Dylan.
Yeah, that.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. The guy, so I...
The Muscle Man Love Fest. Yeah.
Yeah. I've only ever seen from, when they're in the jungle on, but it not even, because how long... What is it? It takes a little while before the Predator starts like attacking them.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. It takes some time. You get like little there's like clues that there's something besides just the militia out there, but yeah, the Predator's not in the movie till halfway through.
Yeah. Really? That's the great thing about this movie. I mean, it's a little different, like if you know, like, you know, I kind of gave it away with the name Predator. Yeah. They probably had previews and everything. But if you didn't know, like the first half of the movie is just a war movie, and then all of a sudden, out comes a alien that is a predator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When's the last time you saw this, Joe?
It's been a few years, so yeah. I've definitely seen it plenty of times. I somehow have managed to lose the DVD. I saw the case, but I don't know where that went. But I've seen this a lot of times. Like, it's top-notch fucking 80s action. You know, you got Arnold, you got Jesse the Body, you got San Francisco State alumni and former Oakland Raider Carl Weathers is in it. What's his bucket from fucking Commando?
Which one?
Bill something?
No,
Bill
like
Duke. Duke.
Oh, Bill Duke. Yeah, yeah.
Bill Duke.
Oh,
yeah.
By the way, I was going to mention real fast. Oh no, go ahead, Chris. When was the last time you saw this? Before I mentioned my comment.
I was just going to say that up until very recently, I was like Aaron, and I had never really seen this movie the full way through. I just caught like little tiny snippets of it on cable or whatever. And then I accidentally watched this movie instead of Conan when I thought that's the movie we were doing last episode. So
you watched the whole thing?
Unfortunately, yeah. Unfortunately, this is not a pre-watch for me.
Okay.
But yeah, good movie.
Oh, a couple of notes real fast. First of all, the name... I don't know why they call this thing a predator, because it loses every single fucking time almost that it's in a movie.
True.
Like, it is a very bad... It's trying to... Awesome. I mean, it gets some people, but then, like, always dying.
Yeah. I mean, the point has been made before that these are, like, the old white dentists of space. the old white dentist that went over to Africa to shoot a dying lion.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha. Yeah. That'd be great. That'd be great if that's what he like. They're like, oh, this fucking guy.
Yeah.
Like, he just gets shit when he gets back to his planet.
Yeah.
Like, their planet is actually full of peaceful, whatever those aliens.
Yeah. They're like a highly advanced civilization.
If you were
a utopic society. Yeah,
exactly. You've got this group of assholes that go and just kill like wild animals, like that
are... dress up like real pieces of shit. Yeah.
By the way, I'm gonna forget if you remember. I'm curious if they actually name what the like species is called. So I'll try to remember to look that up if I can.
Definitely
remember.
Not in this movie.
Like in this movie, no.
No. Like, also,
they in any movie?
My second comment was I'm probably going to watch the new one before this one.
Prey?
Yes, just because I don't remember why I said so. Because I've never really seen this one, and it's getting compared to where it's like a. Where it's like people are saying that it's better than it.
I doubt that sincerely, but yeah. It certainly has been good in good reviews. It's probably pretty good.
But that way there's no bias going into it, like into Prey.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
But yeah, so I'll probably watch that. Have you guys seen that?
I've not watched it yet.
Not yet. Okay. I think the only other one I've seen is Predator 2 starring San Francisco State alumni Danny Glover.
Yeah, which we'll get to that too, but I haven't seen that one either.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have seen you haven't seen any of the other ones?
I don't think so, no.
I've seen Alien vs. Predator. That's the only
seen that.
Oh, no. I watched the Adrian Brody one, actually.
Yeah, that one was good.
That one's all right.
What was that, Predators?
Predators, yeah. Yeah,
it's Predators. And then the most recent one before Prey was Predator. Just Predator again?
Yeah, I think so. Or The Predator.
It might have been The Predator. I don't know.
Yeah, and that one was Shane Black, right? Pretty sure.
Yeah. It
was directed by Shane Black. But this one is directed by John McTiernan, who is a director of Die Hard and other stuff.
Mm-hmm. I believe he replaced somebody halfway through.
Really?
So
He is actually, I'm 99% sure he's also the director of Last Action Hero. So, wow. Yeah. I have no experiences with this movie because it doesn't really hold a nostalgia thing because I've never really seen it. It's just more of a meme thing. Like, Joe, did you get to watch this when you were younger?
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I mean, I watched it throughout my life. It's like, I mean, I think it's peak Arnold 80s action, or just peak 80s action. Like, I mm-hmm. don't know if there's, I can think of a better 80s action movie than this one.
Just like it, because it's not, it doesn't have the usual comedy that the others have, or?
I mean, it definitely does, you know.
There's some funny parts. I wouldn't say it's as, like, quippy as, like, a Commando or a Total Recall or Running Man or anything like that. But there's definitely some funny parts.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think Terminator is probably a better movie, but that's more sci-fi or zombie or whatever.
Yeah, this one's pretty straight action.
Yeah, and it's amazing. So
it's good.
I'll give this I'll pump 5 irons for this one.
Just let us all know up front.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't fuck with
put
my
it
score.
On this Predator.
There were two things that were not related to the movie at all that I was going to mention, and who knows if that'll stay in here or get cut. The first thing was I was getting gas today, and there was this lady that walked up, like, was kind of like mumbling to herself and like walking around the parking lot, and then I saw her walking towards me because I looked over and I think we made eye contact, and I was like, oh, shit. And she started walking towards me and kind of yelling. I was like, whoop, get her, get back in the car. And so I get back in the car and she walks over to my passenger side window and she's like, where's my daughter? Where is my daughter? I know you know where she's at. And I was like,
Jesus.
Rolling up the window on her slow, like.
Your window was down?
Well, yeah, it was down because I just got back in the car as she got up there. And my windows were already down. I rolled it up and then I waved at her and then I drove away. We gave her like, ah. She's like, no, come back. Where's my daughter? I was like, holy shit. That sucks for her. Like, I know I'm pretty sure she was homeless and whatnot, but or she's just like a huge Mel Gibson fan. Like a ransom. She just likes, yeah.
See, if this was not real, I would tell you should have been like, shh, as you drove away.
Yeah.
Like, just look her straight in the eyes.
Or Commando. I don't know. There's a lot of daughters that go missing in movies.
Anyway, and the second thing was I was over in San Alejo Hills area today, mm-hmm. and it got me thinking about the story that Joe. Story that he said that he claims is true about some about a time. See, I wasn't with you. Who was with you when that happened?
I believe it was Nick and Richard.
Okay,
and
it. Who else. But that was like way before the area was developed, so it was all like wooded, like not wooded, but like
yeah. And there was the mental institution there allegedly.
Yeah.
So for the people not from our area, it's basically. Place called Quest Haven. It was kind of wooded and out there.
It's like unincorporated, right?
Is it?
Or it was.
I don't fucking know.
Yeah,
I think it was an unincorporated part of town.
That'd be great if that's just part of the stuff that people made up for it. Because it's like, no, it's unincorporated. So they've got like, they do fucked up stuff there.
There's
with
no
those,
fucking rules out there, man.
Exactly, with those mental patients. They'll screw with them, man.
So yeah, there was a mental institution and, you know, it was like allegedly haunted or, you know, whatever. But when we were like 18, 19, before we really started drinking, like we just drive out there and get scared and like drive off. But one time we went out there and we're like at the gate and like looking in and somebody came walking towards the gate. They had a hood on. It was dark, but we saw him and he didn't have a face. All right. I 100% sure that it was like covered up and the lights or whatever. Maybe the light was coming from behind him and he just couldn't see his face. But we could not see this guy's face. So we just assumed he didn't have a face because that's scary. So that happened. I don't believe that person exists without a face. Wait, that's so not what I'm trying to say. It was just, it looked like he had no face.
So was it like just like a blank, like let's say just skin?
Like that? Are you saying it was like an empty hood?
Well, okay. Yeah. So like if you're wearing a hood, like it was like blank. So if you're wearing a hood and you have a, like light shining behind you, you might see the outline of your head, but you're mm-hmm. not necessarily going to see the face. So yeah. That's probably what happened. So it just looked like a head, just like a blank head in a hood. So what? It looked like he had no face.
That reminded me of, well, because there was a guy that used to like, this was a long time ago, but he, back in East somewhere, he used to take walks early in the morning, and there's reports of some guy that didn't have a face, like some monster without a face, and I guess his face got burnt off, and so he would walk in the morning early just to avoid people.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
no, so it wasn't like that. I've seen that guy. No, it was...
Did you look, like when you heard about that, did you look like, oh my god, maybe it's him? And then you looked at it like,
no, because that guy's from like 1920. So
yeah, I mean,
if it's haunted, like world, or it was, I think it was
that guy could be a ghost as well. Like,
exactly,
that's true.
That guy died and decided he'd move to the West Coast.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, no, I'm dead.
It's like North County, San Diego. That's where yep. it's at.
Now that I don't gotta pay fucking rent here.
Well, then I was thinking like, because when I was over there today, I was thinking like. About your no face guy story, and I was like, "Well, what if this guy didn't have a face and he couldn't see? So he's just like, am I in the bathroom? Where he's like trying to find the bathroom, and he accidentally wandered out of the house, and he wandered to the gate, and he's like, where the fuck am I? And then he hears somebody, and he's trying to like yell, like, help me, I can't find me. But you guys are like, no face guy, and then took off running.
We drove away. Right? Okay, we didn't get out of the car at that break. yeah, that's a possibility.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's. I just wanted to tell my one joke. That's the only reason I brought it up. But also, it's an interesting story too. Anyway, any other comments about the movie?
No, that's it. We usually keep these pretty short. Yep.
All right, then. Well, I guess I'm gonna go look some stuff up, and we'll be right back with some production info.
Yeah. Stick around.
And we are back. We're going to give it to Aaron here. He's going to give some spicy nugs, drop some details.
Yeah, let's fucking give it to him.
Just fucking take it. So, Aaron, what do you got for us?
Okay. All right. So, the movie was directed by John McTiernan, who, like we mentioned during the pre-watch, also directed Arnold's 1994 masterpiece, Last Action Hero, as well as the original Die Hard.
And we say that not, like, ironically. No. Like, that's... That movie's the fucking masterpiece.
That movie was the one that I was watching when I messaged you about doing this podcast, actually. I was like, man. And I don't know why, but I was surprised to learn that. He's only directed 12 movies. So the two I mentioned, as well as a 1986 Pierce Brosnan movie I've never heard of called Nomads. But then he also directed The Hunt for Red October with Sean Connery, which I never watched, but I'm pretty sure he plays like a Russian submarine captain who I'm sure for some weird reason has a Scottish accent.
They just don't address it.
Have you seen it?
I've seen parts of it, but it's just they do a thing where they like everybody's speaking Russian to start with, and then eventually they just switch over to English.
No, they should have done it word by word, and then slowly each there's a new word.
Yeah, that was such a weird thing, like especially back in the day when it'd be like this movie takes place in Germany, and then like everybody's speaking English.
Yeah,
even like Chernobyl that came out, that HBO miniseries, like. 2 years ago, that was like really fucking good, but everybody's British. It's like, yeah, it's I don't know, it's kind of weird, but I mean, it's still great. But it was just kind of a I haven't seen that in a long time. It's just a weird film thing from back in the day.
We're all like anytime there's a Roman movie, they're all British too. pretty much everyone's just, anybody European is British.
Yeah, like, this is Sparta. Like, I'm pretty sure he didn't say that.
By Jove, this is Sparta. It is.
Wait, wasn't it Gerard Butler, though? Is he British?
Yeah, he's Scottish. Oh, he is? No, he's Scottish.
I just know.
Thus us, Sparta.
Dominic West, a.k.a. McNulty's in it.
Oh, yeah, he is. He's like the bad guy in that, right?
Oh, yeah, he's one of the senators, huh?
I don't know.
Yeah, he's the shitty senator.
Anyway, so, okay. So,
Senate, the movie's... State Senator Clay Davis?
Shit. The other movies McTiernan directed were 1992's The Medicine Man, also starring Sean Connery, hopefully playing a Nigerian shaman who sounds like Groundskeeper Willie. Which would be great. He also didn't direct Die Hard 2, but he directed Die Hard with a Vengeance, which I haven't seen, but I heard is fun.
Is Medicine Man the movie version of Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman, or is that like the TV show spinoff? Are they spins off?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Should find that out.
We want to move this into movies, but we can't have a lady leading it, so it's Medicine Man now.
The last two movies McTiernan directed were a remake of Rollerball in 2002, and then a movie called Basic in 2003, and then nothing since then, which I found kind of odd. So I looked him up on Wikipedia, and apparently he stopped because he was dealing with some stuff that eventually led to him being locked up in federal prison.
Oh, Jesus. That'll do it.
Which I did not know about.
Yeah. What did he get? What did he get
some locked? Die Hard type stuff or like some more boring stuff?
He had someone illegally wiretap a producer of one of his films because they were having disagreements about the direction of the film, and McTiernan wanted dirt on him to use against him. Wow. Which I didn't know that was a federal crime.
I mean, if you're going to get charged with a crime, you want to get charged with a federal crime. Because if you go to a federal prison, like as I'm told, I haven't been there. I haven't even been arrested. But it's called Club Fed because it's like way chill compared to like state prisons. So
the best part of this is that the movie that he did this for was Rollerball, which I think ended up bombing at the box office and holds a
3%. You mean Chris Klein's Rollerball?
Yes, exactly. And Rebecca Romijn is in it too, I think, as Stamos.
Well, maybe he was right to record him because that movie ended up sucking.
Did you watch
it? No, maybe if he got his way. I didn't watch it, but I never heard of it and it bombed. So maybe if he got his way, that movie would have been good. But now the movie sucks and he went to prison for it. It's a double kick in the nuts.
And worst of all, you ruined Chris Klein's career.
Yeah, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, he was in our generation's Porky's. That's American
true.
Pie.
That's true.
That's very true.
Yeah, that movie actually holds a 3% Rotten Tomato rating, which is like at least someone kind of liked it maybe. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
I want to see the positive one. It's probably like, this isn't the worst movie that's ever been made. And like, man, we'll give that a fresh tomato.
No, I got to look that up. That's
I always have this thing where it's just like when they have like quotes from critics, like for movie stuff. It's like, dot, 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 this movie is amazing, dot, dot, dot. But the real quote is like, this movie is amazing at being fucking terrible or something, you know? They just like cut it out.
The highest it got was a 50 from the New York Daily News. And it said the game itself is meaningless and the movie much the same. So yeah, that 50, I guess, gave it the 3%. That's on Metacritic. But I guess he continuously lied to the FBI about it.
That's not good.
Then pleaded guilty as part of a plea agreement for a lesser sentence. So he was sentenced to 4 months in prison and a $100,000 fine. But instead of just taking that, he withdrew his original guilty plea. So that ended up voiding the deal that he had with the FBI. So they went after him even harder by adding two counts of lying to the FBI. And that doofus ended up having to do a year in prison instead of 4 months because he withdrew his plea.
Oh, man.
Okay, so it was the lying to the FBI that was like the federal crime.
Yeah, I mean,
it seems like.
Seems like wiretapping, at least what I know from movies and TV, is a federal crime. It's a federal wiretapping charge.
Does it depend who you do it to, or is it just anybody?
I don't know. It's probably just federal crime. But, I mean, I learned most of that from The Wire, so.
Not a horrible place to learn it from.
No, I mean.
It's probably better than, like, Law and Order.
Yeah, no. I mean, The Wire is the best show that's ever been made, so. Oh, yeah, maybe he was like, all right, I'll do my 4 months. And then he, like, met this chick, and he's like, oh, fuck. Like, I got to smash. And he's like, dude, it's so worth it. You know, I'll withdraw my plea and, like, suspend my sentence. Even if I got to go to prison for 8 months longer, I'll wait as long as I can just smash. And then he did. And then he's, like, sitting in prison. And he's just like, oh, cool with it.
I thought you meant it was one of those like prison groupies and she only wanted to be with him if he was.
Oh, that would work too. She's like, 4 months.
She's like, man, I could get a whole year out of this.
4 months, that's weak. It's like, I'll only give you conjugal visits if when you're in prison. After that. All right, we can move on. Sorry.
Okay, so that all started in like 2006. He went to prison in 2013 and was out in a little less than a year. But I guess he hasn't made anything since except a video game commercial. Because apparently he's also not well liked in Hollywood on account of him being kind of a shitbag. So anyway, that's our director, folks.
What video game was the commercial for?
I think it was a Call of Duty game or something like that. I'm sure he made an awesome Call of Duty commercial. I'm pretty sure it was something like that.
I'm wondering if it was that one from a few years ago that had like 18
celebrities. Yeah, Kobe was in that one, I remember.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
The movie was written by brothers John and Jim Thomas. And is actually their first writing credit, which is pretty damn good way to start a career.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't watched a movie yet, but, you know, it's an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie in the 80s.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they also wrote Predator 2 and Executive Decision, which I think is a Kurt Russell movie, and have story credits on Behind Enemy Lines, Mission to Mars, and Wild Wild West. Hmm. The story was kind of inspiring to me. Got me thinking that if Chris and I work hard enough, we could write one really good movie and then follow it up with some like mediocre ones, and then finally one that's so bad that it's at least probably a tiny bit responsible for Will Smith's pent-up aggression. You know? That's got to be a little bit responsible.
Yeah. Just has to be.
Ghost Recon Wildlands, that's the game he...
Is that that one? I guess they're all Tom Clancy ones.
Tom Clancy one.
I mean, Call of Duty is not Tom Clancy, but
everything else is.
Any like much. Ghost Recon or
Rainbow Six,
yeah.
Yeah.
Rainbow Seven,
okay.
Sequel.
But Predator is actually the Thomas brothers' first writing credit, which is pretty cool. So the film had a production budget of between $15 and $18 million, according to IMDb and Wikipedia. It was released June 12th, 1987, and opened number one at the box office, making $12 million on its opening weekend, beating out the second-place movie by almost $3 million. And I guess, like I said before, I know it doesn't matter, but I like to know the top 10 movies because I end up looking at things. So anyway, it wasn't a horrible week time for movies, but I also haven't seen a lot of them. Number two was The Witches of Eastwick, which opened the same week, and I haven't seen it, but I think it stars Jack Nicholson and Cher.
And
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, I think all three of the witches were like really big actresses.
And Susan Sarandon. Yes, I did look it up earlier, but yeah. Number three was Beverly Hills Cop 2, which I also haven't seen.
Wow.
But I haven't actually seen any of those.
You haven't seen Beverly Hills Cop 2?
I haven't seen any of them.
That one's on cable all the time.
The first one?
The first and the second one. Actually, probably the second and the third one are on cable more than the first one.
It's so weird what they run through on cable. Like, so they'll do that for a little while, and you're like, I haven't seen this movie in forever, and then it'll just run into the ground and then put something else random on.
Yeah.
I haven't had cable in such a long time, so.
Yeah.
Fucking rich guy over here.
Fucking John D. Rockefeller.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Number four was The Untouchables, which I also haven't seen, but I think Sean Connery is in it. Sean Connery is in it, probably doing a impeccable Chicago Midwest accent.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this one with Kevin Costner, right? One of them's Elliot Ness, and the other one's
Elliot Ness's friend.
Oh, who's the fucking John Dillinger?
Al Capone.
Oh, no, it's Al Capone. Oh. Yeah, it's Al Capone.
What's his name?
Robert De Niro, right?
Yeah, De Niro.
Oh, so it's not Costner?
No. Costner is Elliot Ness. Yeah, De Niro is Al Capone.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then didn't Elliot Ness take down John Dillinger?
No, Al Capone.
I mean, according to the movie, he took down, Al Capone. I don't know anything about Dillinger.
I think there's like a 30-year difference between that. I think, wasn't Dillinger in like the 40s or 50s or something like that?
I thought Dillinger was in the 30s.
Mm. He died in 34.
I don't know.
Okay. Maybe. That'd be a hell of a career. He just goes out of his like jurisdiction and goes to wherever Dillinger is. So number five was The Believers, which was some movie about cults starring Martin Sheen. Number six was Harry and the Hendersons, which I'm okay with saying is one of the only two movies I've actually seen on this list. I like that movie.
I've never seen that movie.
You probably won't. Yeah, it's I mean, it's not good, but it's
it's goofy, it's, right? It's just like
80s.
It's 80s. It's got a lot of John Lithgow. Like he redoes the scene, they redo the scene in 30 Rock with
I remember that.
When he like hits him.
Yeah.
But it's good. I don't know. Anyway, so, okay, so number seven was Ernest Goes to Camp, which I don't think I've seen, but I'm pretty sure was a masterpiece. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The only one I've seen is Scared Stupid. But number eight was The Secret of My Success, starring Michael J. Fox. Number nine was Million Dollar Mystery, which I had to look up, and seems like it was kind of like a version of Rat Race, which I think is basically just a version of Mad World.
Mm, yeah.
But then number 10 was Platoon, which is the only other movie I've seen, and I definitely prefer Harry and the Hendersons to Platoon. I mean, I haven't seen it for a long time.
I saw Secret of My Success for the first time like a couple months ago.
Any good?
The movie's okay. It's Michael J. Fox being Michael J. Fox. Like that's like the whole point of the movie. It's very like 80s like yuppie kind of thing.
Okay.
That's all he wants is to be like an executive at the company.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can definitely see how Predator ended up number one because it's the only straight up like action movie out like that was playing at the time, and definitely the only sci-fi type of movie. Those yeah. movies always seem to do well during the summer. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was only number one for the its opening week, and then it swapped places with the number two movie, The Witches of Eastwick, because nobody in the 80s could resist Jack Nicholson.
It's true.
So Predator ended up grossing $59.7 million in the U.S., worldwide gross of $98.2 million, and ended up being the 12th highest grossing movie of 1987, which, damn, like, I think we said Conan was this, like 17th or something like that, highest grossing of 1982. So.
15th, I think you said.
Yeah, yeah, so that run of movies, I can...
Yeah.
So yeah, that's all I got for the production info, so let's check out some promo material.
Yeah, I gotta Sweet. Say, that's probably the most legendary movie of 1987, but I'm just looking at Princess Bride is up there, Full Metal Jacket, shit.
Are you looking up the box office grosses?
I'm just trying to think
just like
of,
cultural relevance?
Yeah.
Because I think actually Beverly Hills Lost Cop Boys. Was, there was two lists, was the top movie for 1987.
Yeah, those movies were
okay. Huge. All right, well, I was wrong. There's a lot. So those two that I mentioned, there's also Lethal Weapon, Dirty Dancing, Fatal Attraction, Lost Boys, Raising Arizona, Christ. Throw Mama from a Train, which, yeah, whatever.
I'll throw on. I haven't Hellraiser, seen that one, classic.
The original Hellraiser, Evil Dead 2.
Damn.
Yeah, there was a lot of La Bamba.
Oh,
Planes, shit. Trains, and Automobiles. 3 Men and a Baby. Fuck, what are you? RoboCop?
RoboCop is good.
Adventures in Babysitting.
Damn.
Oh, The Running Man came out that year, too.
Yes, so. It did.
Wow. So, I'm not necessarily wrong, but...
87 was just a good fucking year.
Like, there was a lot more, shit. Like...
That happened classics. With the... I think either year. Conan or Red Heat. Or not Red Heat, Raw Deal.
Raw Deal.
Yeah, because I remember reading the list and it was like E.T., Back to the Future, whatever one was came out in 1984, which I think is Raw Deal. But
yeah, I think that's hard to.
But yeah, it was a crazy list, too. The 80s were just a good time for movies, or we just only remember the good ones.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, anyway, I couldn't find a whole lot that weren't serious. Can you please not stick your butthole in my face? Just like your tail Sorry, sticking
I'll
up?
I'll stop.
Dude. Go away. Stop. I know you want me to rub your butt, but stop. Go over there.
All right. Fucking well.
Fucking hell. You okay there?
Yeah, I'm just in, like...
Well, you pushed him off the couch. I don't know what he was supposed to do.
I'm in a spare room that we have fully set up. And
oh, like a lawn chair?
Yeah. And there, I got these, like, posters behind, which are... They're like... Lori got them for me for Christmas, but they're like... Each scene of movies, you know?
What is
the
it?
The color palette.
What?
Are those... Oh, I think I know what you're saying, but...
Wait, what movie is that?
I believe this is Infinity War.
What do you mean this? The scene of a movie?
So, it's like the... They take, like, the color of the scene, you know? And they just... Mm-hmm. So, this is, like, every scene from Infinity War.
Huh.
And then I got Fight Club, and I got Terminator also, and I think I just... Oops, kind of fucked
up. There goes that scene. I'm curious which scene you just fucked up.
And they're on Wakanda or something.
So I couldn't find a whole lot that wasn't that weren't like serious interviews, and was unable to find his appearance on The Tonight Show to promote the movie, which... Anyway, there's an appearance on Letterman's, I think it's Late Night, but there's better stuff than that one, so maybe we'll... I'm sure we'll watch that one eventually when we get to a movie that has no promo stuff. But... Anyway, so most of the stuff is from his co-stars, but so let's start off with start off with an Arnold one, which is him being interviewed on Entertainment Tonight. So Arnold is talking about the movie and what audiences can kind of expect to see.
It is an action-adventure film. It's packed with action from the beginning to the end, and on top of it, it's a horror movie. After the first third of the movie, it turns into a horror movie. It becomes a very intense movie. There are some great characters in it by the name of Carl Weathers, Jesse the Body Ventura, who is one of the world champion wrestlers, Bill Duke. It's one of those things where we decided to not have one guy go against the whole enemy or whatever we fight always against, but it's like a team of guys, like the Dirty Dozen or the Magnificent Seven or something like this. So it made it much more fun, and it of course created much more action and excitement and much more acting and interacting of the different characters. So that's something that they probably will expect, but there will be added on things. What is different is that in the whole film this time I'm in high heels. It was...
okay.
yeah, I like the quick cut too.
Yes, exactly. So that's my note. Like, I love how it just cuts away before we see any sort of reaction from the person that's interviewing him.
Yeah.
And then immediately goes into him fielding another question. The first time I watched it, I had to rewind it because I was like, I was looking up other stuff while I was listening to it, and I had to like make up like, whoa, what did he say? just like, okay. I don't know. It just made it seem like the way it was. Because they didn't show him laughing, it just made it seem like the joke like fell flat and just moved on. But yeah, anyway. Yeah, this next one is from the same clip, but it's actually Kevin Peter Hall being interviewed, who's the guy that played the Predator. And I guess he also played Harry from Harry and the Hendersons. So technically, this dude played one of the leads in two movies that were in the top 10 at the box office at the same time.
He's two iconic characters. Nice. Like,
yeah.
That's not a joke.
Nope. The interviewer, who I think is Mary Hart, pretty sure, from Entertainment Tonight, but she keeps asking him awkward questions, like stuff like, so how much does it suck that you're in two of the top movies right now and no one recognizes you? And he's like, the look on his face is just like, I know I'm not seen on screen, but, you know, like, eventually I will be known and stuff like that. And I'm like, what the fuck kind of question was that? What an asshole.
How does it know to feel your life's work? I said that backwards. Yeah. How does it feel to know your life's work will go unrecognized?
Yeah. And then there's this one, which might be my favorite, because it's such an, like, awkwardly bad question.
Now, for Harry, these are two despairingly different parts. I mean, everybody loves this creature, Harry, and then this other guy, an alien, is just a murdering varmint.
Right. Varmint's a good word.
Which one is more close to you or that's more fun to play?
I think Harry's definitely more me, the lovable visitor in the home. It's a good part. There was a lot to do, you know, there was a lot of things to play. And the other, you know, you kill people, and then you kill more people, and then you die. It's just like,
what kind of... Oh my god. He got the short end of the stick having that be his interviewer.
Yeah, it was just like, such a bad question. Like, it's like someone asking Evan Peters, like, so you played Quicksilver and X-Men, but you also played Jeffrey Dahmer. Which one would you say you're most like?
Like, see, that would be good if it was like,
God.
Okay, here's probably what happened. They were just going through the interview and they didn't like think of that question, or they didn't write it before or whatever. Because if they did, they should have told him what the question was before. Then he can like answer.
Yeah, he can have like a funny soundbite answer.
Yeah.
They just would have nixed that question.
Yeah. There was a lot of cocaine going on in the 80s and everything. So maybe somebody's like, oh, which one is more like you? You know, that's fucking right. Let's ask him that one, man. That'll fucking get him. Yeah, because I don't know. Like, if, you know, nowadays, like, it would be different. But, like, back in the day, they're trying to make a professional, even though E.T. isn't, like, you know, highbrow type shit. But you're a professional and you're trying to, like, ask good interview questions, and that's like a fucking terrible question. So it's either like a prank, or she's just like, yeah, it's something that came off the top of her head, or people just fucking suck at their job.
That's what I was gonna say. It was like, that's like a Between Two Ferns question. Like, yes. like that's like a fake interview I'm trying to tank this thing question. Like,
well, that also looks like, because they're not showing the, who is interviewing, it looks like raw footage too.
Yeah, so, it kind of does. Yeah.
True.
Yeah,
or so I think it's really racist question.
Yeah, that's the other thing I was going to say. Like, it's like, which one are you more like?
Because, you know, you're black.
Unbridled killing machine?
Yeah.
Or the really dumb ape-like creature? Like, what the fuck are you doing, lady?
Well, and if you listen to it, because I watched it a couple times, you listen to it, she stumbles for a second because I think she realized her question was stupid, and then so she switched to which one did you like playing more?
Yeah.
So she starts off with like which one are you more like, playing, which playing
him
more?
Searching for the words is really fun, like him trying to be like, how the fuck do I answer this question, you stupid asshole?
Yeah, I guess she stumbled over words. That makes sense. That's some dumb shit that I would say. So
yeah,
I mean, if you listen to this podcast, you've heard a lot of dumb shit. So.
Well, yeah. And that's not even just a look on his face when she says the last one, which was the recognition one. It was just like, it was just like a look of like, just heart sank for a second. You tell like, well, I don't know. Anyway, okay. So the next couple that I have are Jesse Ventura ones. Sweet. So this first one is him on In Depth with Graham Bensinger. And the first part is him explaining how he got the role. And the answer is interesting.
Predator. How did you get the role in spite of Vince McMahon's wishes?
I read for it. And I had an agent in Hollywood at the time. I used to go there as often as I could. And he got me an appointment with Jackie Birch. And they were casting the next Schwarzenegger movie, which was Predator. And the part of Sergeant Blaine, Special Forces, 6'4", 250. I fit it perfect. And I had the background for it. And I chewed tobacco, which was in the script. They asked me, can you chew tobacco? And I pulled out my Copenhagen and Redman. I said, I've been chewing for 20 years. So it was not acting when I chewed tobacco and spit it on Carl's boots.
Okay, pass the head. Or,
you kind of buried the lead. I think it's much more interesting the way he fucking dressed for this interview.
What is he doing?
Why he's got like a Jimi Hendrix t-shirt on.
Does he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even notice that before. I was like, oh, man. He's
sitting there with his balding ponytail and his Jimi Hendrix t-shirt on.
That's like, what's... like the interview was just sprang on him.
Yeah, seriously, like they pulled him off the street. He was at a barbecue. Yeah.
That's what's called a silver bullet. The silver mullet, if you will.
I just like how he's like, I owe everything I have to Philip Morris. Anyway, the next clip, which I guess just close out of that one and then open the, if you reopen the thing again, it'll, but oh yeah, so okay, so the next clip is from the same interview and is him talking about probably one of the more widely known pieces of trivia from the movie, which is that Jean-Claude Van Damme was originally cast as the Predator. So it's, did you guys heard that like before?
Yeah, I've heard of that, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, it's him talking about Van Damme.
Tell about, to get back to Predator, your first encounter with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah. Well, Jean-Claude was at the time a nobody living out of his trunk. And this was the first job he got. He was going to be the Predator. You know, they didn't know exactly what the Predator was going to be yet. I didn't even know what the Predator was till I went to a screening. They hadn't determined yet. Because remember, he was invisible to us. So they shot him completely separate. But Jean-Claude originally got cast for the Predator because I guess they felt with his karate agility and all that, he'd be able to move good through the jungle with this suit on. Well, I don't think Jean-Claude realized they weren't going to see his face. So he's a good kid. I love him today. But he got down there and did nothing but complain. So Joel Silver fired him. His first job, he gets fired, and Joel says he'll never work in Hollywood again. Jean-Claude goes up and signs a 3-picture deal with De Laurentiis and is a big star now. So it goes to show you when they tell you you'll never work in the business again, chances are you still may get an opportunity.
So what's your favorite line from Predator?
Jesse Ventura is the definition of boomer. Are you just watching it?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to see what his favorite line was.
Oh, he's, what's his name? Graham Bensinger or whatever. It was trying to like bait him into telling, which I forgot that was his like famous line from it, which was the something about bleeding.
I got time to bleed.
Yeah, yeah. And he tells me, he's like, everybody loves that line, but I didn't want to say it.
That's me. See, his best line is, this stuff will turn you into a sexual tyrannosaurus. when he gives the nerdy guy, because you know he's a nerd because he's got glasses, like yeah, fucking exactly. Nerd.
It's Shane Black, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Shane Black.
Yeah, but he tries to give him the cha. He's like, this stuff will turn you into sexual tyrannosaurus.
Wait, like the chew?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. The chewing tobacco.
Man, it is like it. Seriously, like a. Like one of his character, like the characteristics of his character.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, that's full on a character trait. That's like half his personality.
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, the top three guys. I don't think there's a lot of acting going on. Like Arnold, yeah. Carl Weathers, and Jesse.
Carl
the
Weathers
buddy.
Does all right.
Yeah, I mean,
I think Carl Weathers does all right.
I'm not saying they are
like
bad
as far
actors.
As personality.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh okay, yeah, yeah.
Aside from the CIA having him push too many pencils, yeah, but like Jesse and Arnold are just Jesse and Arnold saying lines, you know?
So that's one side of the story with Jesse Ventura telling it. But next up, I actually have JCVD telling his side of the story on Hollywood Reporter's Heat Vision breakdown.
Before we start, can I just point out the suggested video on the side that says, is Steven Seagal still dangerous, as he sits there with his saggy ass face and his double chin?
And that was 10 years ago.
And I like how it's him answering the question, hopefully.
Yeah, it almost certainly is.
I am still dangerous.
I'm still the most dangerous man alive. I'm just a cook, but I'm still dangerous.
All right.
Anyway,
there are many, many theories and rumors about why you left Predator, because you were originally supposed to be the Predator in that film. What is the actual reason why you left Predator?
I came to the studio and they made me run around the studio and I jump like a dancer. I see me jumping. This guy can jump very high. So yes, he's in. So then I've got to go to displays and they put me on sticks and woods and they start to melt all the cast on me. Uh-huh. You know, and it's boiling hot. I'm a guy, I like to breathe. And yeah. Now they're gonna do my head and everything. And I've got my friend next to me. I said, man, I ain't gonna make it. So they put in my mouth like a tube.
Oh my God.
And at that time, I was just to them a stunt guy, right?
Right.
And I was covered into that cast for at least 20 minutes. They say, if you feel like you cannot breathe, just go like this with the finger and I'll pull that stuff away from you. And I did it. I start to panic.
Oh,
and
no.
You go a little more, 5 more minutes. And finally, the cast came out. I was in Predator. It was disgusting outfit. And my feet were in these caps, so I was on some sorts of...
like stilts?
Yeah. So when Joel asked me to jump, I knew it was going to be a bad one. I said, I, this is impossible, Joel. I think we're going to have a problem. Then he replaced me by somebody. And the guy who did my stunt, something bad happened to him. And then they stopped the film, and they did a new, more safe outfit. So I was happy that I listened to my intuition.
Okay. By the way, he is right about... The stunt that he refused to do, I read something trivia, I don't remember when, but the guy that they got to do it broke his legs.
Oh, Jesus.
Because he jumped from too high.
Wow.
So, also, that his story reminds me, because I also watched another interview where he kind of tells the same story. This one's a little more entertaining, though. It's not very well edited, which I just realized right now.
Mm.
But, Joe, it reminds me of the story that... all of us used to joke about with like our friends about how he got started in Hollywood. Do you remember that story?
Oh, or you jump up and do the spits, like put me in a movie.
Yeah, exactly. Like to a random Hollywood producer, which he tells that. I'm pretty sure it was Joel Silver, because he tells that story, but like not so like making fun of him. Well, because yeah, but like to Joel Silver because I started doing like jumping and doing kicks and stuff like that. And I said, just imagine him like jumping and doing a kick, like, put me in a movie. And then like, well, that's worked. All the English he knows. Yeah, it did work. But okay. Are you watching more stuff?
No, I'm trying to sign in so we don't get any ads.
Okay, you know what would have been great is if you just would have like forgot that it was on share, like share screen, you just would have went to porn
just immediately. Like that's all he does whenever we're not forcing him to share his screen.
Just like you see me like.
But yeah, the other interview was it's basically like, so I don't know how it came about, but it was like a joke that something we would joke about that one of us heard, like a trivia tidbit that we heard in like when we were right out of high school. So was that like 2001?
Yeah.
Of Jean-Claude Van Damme, where he was like, that's how we got originally hired. He's like, put me in a movie. Like after doing like some kicks and stuff like this, we all joke about it, but none of us actually looked it up because, you know, didn't think of it back then, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
which I'm sure you could
probably would have been way harder to look up back then too.
Yeah, true. Which I didn't bother to look up now because I just like to think that that's what happened.
Yeah, it's canon.
He was just running from studio to studio,
doing like fucking jump kicks and stuff just like kept that.
Jumping on like lunch tables and doing splits between them.
Or you know, they got the little thing where the car goes up and down. Yeah. You know, and they're like, "Sir, you can't go in there." And he just jumps up and does the splits on the little car thing. Like, put me in a movie. It's like, dude, I'm a security guard. I can't do anything for you.
Okay, so just a few more. So, but next up, get back to a little bit of Arnold with, actually, I think it's that one. Oh, I sent it to you. Never mind. Yeah. I was like, how the hell did you do that? was amazing. So anyway, next up, a little bit of Arnold, but with him in what looks like a behind-the-scenes featurette, talking about a prank he pulled on Jesse Ventura while they were filming.
The biggest thrill for me was when we hit wardrobe, and I happened to view Arnold's wardrobe tape, and when my arms taped out 1 inch bigger than Mr. Olympia's, that made Jesse Ventura feel pretty good.
Well, I'm very happy about that, because then my joke worked. Because I told the wardrobe department they should tell him that, so I can bet him a bottle of champagne afterwards when he comes to the gym. He came to the gym 2 days later and he says, you know something, Arnold? We should measure our arms. Who has bigger arms? I said, of course we should. I said, let's bet a bottle of champagne. He says, of course we should. And then we measured it and my arm was 3 inches bigger than his.
What the fuck?
And he lost a bottle of champagne. So, I mean, you know, the psycho trick trips, they work on everybody, on bodybuilders and also on wrestlers. It was good.
Classic Arnold.
Yeah, exactly. He loves his practical jokes.
Yeah.
I like how he, so I cheated. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it's not really cheating.
So I fucking scammed him. What are you going to do about it?
Exactly. Go scammed him. Okay, so this next one is Bill Duke, and we actually watched part of this interview when we did the Commando episode.
Oh, I remember this interview.
It's the one with it's the one with Bill Duke being interviewed by, I think his name's DJ Vlad, but it's on something called Vlad TV, and the interviewer, this DJ Vlad fella, seems like he doesn't really know how to conduct an interview, because there are a lot of awkward pauses and questions that don't lead anywhere, which honestly, this is my favorite. I was so happy that we can come back to this interview, because I love this interview because of how awkward it is, and because this guy's so bad at his job.
But, okay. Is it like a LEG situation? Like, is he intentionally bad, or is he just terrible at editing, or...
Which I have a note here, but it's more like a real life version of that Chris Farley show sketch on Saturday Night Live.
Oh yeah.
So which you'll see right here. This is the end of the Commando part.
So a Schwarzenegger movie was essentially the biggest type of movie that you could be in, and here you are co-starring. Well, now you're as an action star, as one of the GIs, right there with him.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie was a huge hit.
Commando did very well. Did very well. And it was his foundation for his next movie, which is Predator.
Right, which you were in as well.
Yes. And he invited me to do that too.
Yeah. You had a hell of a performance. Oh, I remember that one scene when you were like, look up in the trees, like, I see him.
This is god awful.
The tension of, like, I guess that was the first time you actually sort of saw the predator and his in his camouflage suit. It was a hell of a movie, man. I mean, The Predator is one of these all-time classics to this day. I mean, which is why they ended up remaking it eventually.
It was. I cannot tell you the experiences it's like it was a great experience. We all bonded because we were in conditions that were unbearable, heat sometimes over 100 degrees, up in the middle of the jungle of Puerto Vallarta. Then we went down to Palenque near the Guatemalan border. And it was, I say this in the book also, that, you know, the first week we were there, the caterer put netting around the tent that we ate because of the bugs and the animals. And the first week, no matter what the food was, there were bugs in it. Which say, take this crap back. We're not eating it. There's bugs in it. But by the second week, there was no more food, so the bugs became what we call protein.
So you guys ate the bugs?
Yeah.
Any crazy Schwarzenegger stories between those two movies?
Well, Arnold was always, he's a jokester. But, one of the crazy things in terms of Predator, we were in this hotel in Mexico, Puerto Vallarta. And he just bought out two ballrooms and had tractors and trailers from L.A. ship in gym equipment that filled the ballrooms. So the ballrooms became gyms. And every day that we shot, and I did it for like a week or so, and then I didn't. But him and the guys, Jesse and the other guys, let's say we had a 7:30 call on the set. They would get up like at 3 or 4:30. Then they run a few miles. Then they come back and work out in the gym for an hour and a half. Then go to breakfast and then go to the set. That was the routine. I did it for a week and they called me a wimp after that, but I didn't care. But it was crazy.
Okay, that dude asked one question. And it was not a good question.
Yeah.
I just love how he didn't bother to edit the video at all. Fuck it. Like, I'm going to leave all that awkward. Maybe he doesn't think he's awkward. And like, we'll leave all that in there.
Well, no, he talks like you would be having a conversation with somebody, You'd be like, oh, yeah, and Predator was a big hit. Like, that's what you would say, but he says it, and Predator was a big hit. And like expecting a response, and Bill Duke is like expecting to be interviewed, so to be asked questions,
by professional.
Yeah, he's doing like a casual conversation thing, but he's asking questions with the wrong inflection and just expecting a response, acting as that is an interview. And Bill Duke's like, the fuck is going on here?
Technically, he only asks one question. Yeah. Most of those were just statements.
And then, waiting for Bill Duke to respond.
Yeah, just like an implied, well, do you want to expand on that? But, like, expand on what, man?
Yeah, you'd be like, oh, that's a cool car. And you expect to be like, oh yeah, I got this back in like 1982. Yeah, exactly. My dad and I rebuilt the engine,
Yeah, exactly.
But saying you got a nice car isn't a question. It's a statement.
Like I said, it seems like the Chris Farley show. He's like, that scene when you're in the trees and stuff like that. Yeah. That was awesome, man.
Yeah. It was great.
Remember when you were classic. Like in the Beatles?
So the last one is Bill Hader on the Dan Patrick Show, and we found out when we did Collateral Damage episode that Bill Hader was actually Arnold's production assistant on that movie. So this is him telling a Predator adjacent story.
When you were around Schwarzenegger, weren't you his assistant?
Yeah, I was a PA. Yeah,
are you listening to his voice?
No. Yeah, I was. There was so much else going on.
What else was going? Can you tell one good story?
Yeah, he would. He was talking about schnitzel. Like we were out in the middle of the jungle shooting this movie, Collateral Damage, and he would go, "You know, this is where we shot Predator." And I was like, "Oh yeah," because I would have schnitzel flown in for the cast and crew. I go, "Oh yeah." And there'd just be a long pause, and you go, Carl Weathers, he ate the schnitzel. the Jesse Ventura, he ate the schnitzel. just all this punctuated with just jungle sounds and me sitting there terrified. Like, I am. And then he just went through the entire cast of Predator and everybody who ate schnitzel. And I was like, yeah, it's like Shane Black, he ate the schnitzel.
Key Grip ate the schnitzel.
Yeah, and I was like, director John McTiernan ate the schnitzel. And I was just going like, I don't even think he's even talking to me. I think he's just kind of having a moment.
Talking to himself?
Yeah. But I had very little interaction with him. It was kind of, you know.
That's actually true, because there's a trivia tidbit about him bringing schnitzel in for everybody. I think he does a lot on his movies.
Which, awesome. Fuck yeah.
I love the idea that he's just cataloging who is and is not eating his schnitzel.
He's got like a notebook.
Never gonna work with that guy again.
Bill Duke did not eat the schnitzel. Yeah. Schnitzel.
He didn't eat it on commando. I gave him another chance, but that's why we never made a movie together again.
Never again.
Okay, and that's it as far as production stuff.
Great.
All right, so we are going to go watch this movie, some of us for the first time.
Yeah, yeah. Ish. We're not going to say who.
Yeah.
Ish.
I want to call you losers, but I am so fucking jealous. So I'm very envious of your situation.
Just me.
Yeah, as of the pre-watch, I accidentally watched the movie, so.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
but anyway. I watched part of it.
Well, yeah, now I'm jealous of both of you. Like, I wish I can watch this again for the first time. Yeah, and that's pretty much it. So I guess there's only one thing left to say.
This stuff will make you a sexual tranit. Fuck. This stuff will turn you into a sexual tyrannosaurus.
If you enjoy our show, please consider giving us a positive review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at ThePottyRichter to make sure you never miss an episode. See You at the Potty Richter is a production of Tape Deck Media. Follow Tape Deck on Instagram at @TapeDeck_media or look us up on Facebook for more hilarious podcasts.
This has been a Tape Deck Media production. Thank you for listening.